You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
He will pour it on us, especially when we don't deserve it. We have not earned anything coming from God. And so we need to realize that this cry of the 10 got an equal response. Everyone that cried, everyone received. And yet we see an important lesson that grace also requires response if it is going to be tapped into to its fullest measure.
Sometimes when things don't go our way, we begin to ask God why He doesn't treat us fairly. After all, if we are faithfully serving Him, don't we deserve to have some things go our way every once in a while? Well, Pastor Gary reminds you today that God's greatest blessing is that He doesn't treat you fairly. If you got what you deserved, you wouldn't have access to the Holy Spirit or to Jesus' gift of forgiveness. The grace we've been shown is deeply unfair, and God offers it to us despite our uncleanliness. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of Luke chapter 17 as he begins his message, The Power of Gratitude.
Go to Luke chapter number 17. Our focus will be verse 18. So let's go. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 11. I have preached from this text here on a few occasions since I have come to pastor this church. Don't know that I've preached it from quite this angle, so I hope and pray that it'll be fresh to you. The Bible said it came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Praise is often very noisy. Have you noticed that? Amen. Amen. That makes some people nervous, but God likes it. Hallelujah. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet. That's a little extreme, wouldn't you say? Giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. By the way, the extremity of your praise ought to match the extremity to which God saved your wretched soul from hell. Come on, amen. You say that praise is extreme. Well, I say what God saved you from is pretty extreme. So try to match it a little bit. Can somebody say amen? Verse 17, Jesus answered, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Wasn't even a Jew. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Focus with me, verse 18. There were not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And I want to preach with God's help on the power of gratitude. Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach this even better than you gave it to me. Lord, we need your touch. This is a very important and I believe could be potentially a pivotal moment in the history of our walk with you, no matter where we are, that if we'll learn this lesson, it can change everything that needs changing in our lives to your glory. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus here performed many miracles, but few moments in Scripture reveal his heart quite like this one. There were 10 lepers who cried out for mercy. All were cleansed, and yet only one turned back to glorify God and give thanks to Jesus. And so Jesus' question, I believe, still should echo through our hearts. And when he says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Could it be said that gratitude is in short supply today, as much, if not more so, than even in Jesus' day? You can go and trace, this is an old devil's playbook right here. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. And Eve had it made in the shade. She had literally everything that she needed or wanted, and there was only one thing, one tree that God withheld from her. And the devil had got her so worked up over what God was holding back from her that she completely forgot to be thankful that she had the entire world at her disposal. And that is the essence of what happens to you and I when we lose sight of all of God's goodness in our life, because we put too much emphasis and focus on the things that we either experience or perceive to be bad or unfair in our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll get so tripped up over what ain't right that we'll forget to give God glory for what is right. Amen. Don't let the devil rob you of the praise that's due the name of the Lord. Amen. And so this text invites us to examine not just a miracle, but the response to the miracle. Gratitude, or the lack thereof, reveals the condition of our hearts and the difference between a momentary blessing and a lasting relationship are revealed in our text today. So let's look at it together. Number one, I want to talk about the cry of the 10. The cry of the 10. In verses 12 and 13, the Bible said that they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And it's interesting to me that all 10 recognized their need for Jesus. They all cried out for mercy, and Jesus heard them all. And this is grace, is it not? Unearned favor extended to those who could not help themselves. And I just love the fact that he did, in fact, help all of them. Amen. Jesus, knowing already, looking into the future, knowing that only one will return to give thanks, still extended his grace to all of them. Aren't you glad that you have such a loving Father that he don't save you predicated upon whether or not you're always going to be obedient or grateful for what he does in your life? That he's so good. He looks on into your future and he sees your stumbles and sees your falls and sees your failures and sees your cracks and sees what a deficit you and I can be to his kingdom sometimes, and says, you know what? It's still worth it. I'm still going to love him. I'm going to still save him. I'm still going to bless him. I'm still going to heal him. Aren't you glad for the goodness of God? See, the devil has it all backwards in our heads sometimes, and we think so much about all the negatives, but God is so good to us that he will pour it on us, especially when we don't deserve it. Amen. We have not earned anything coming from God. And so we need to realize that this cry of the 10 got an equal response. Everyone that cried, everyone received, and yet we see an important lesson that grace also requires response if it is going to be tapped into to its fullest measure. Think, for example, with me, two verses. One's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, which reminds us that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So the Bible teaches us that when we come to Him with need and in prayer, we need to be sure to mix into those requests thanksgivings. That means we are to acknowledge what He has already done and say thank you to our Lord and Savior. Amen. How many of you have ever taught your children that when you do a favor for them or when somebody else does a favor for them, you be sure to teach them to say thank you. Amen. Why is it sometimes that we so soon forget that very basic principle in human relationships when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father? When was the last time, I would like to ask, that you went into the prayer closet for no other reason than to just spend some time thanking the Lord for how good He's been to you? Amen. I tell you what'll cure a lot of your ailments is if you'll just learn how to lay all your worries aside and start counting your blessings and naming them one by one. Amen. I told Amy the other day, I said, the Lord began to convict me about this, and we got to get to the point to where we realize anything on this side of hell is nothing but the grace of God. That means if we're not in hell and we're still alive and we're still breathing, no matter how difficult life may be sometimes, it still could be a whole lot worse, and we got something that we can thank God for. Amen. And so we need to realize that if you're still breathing, you can thank Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So there you go. Are you breathing? Then the Bible commands you to give Him praise and honor and glory. Some might say, well, Brother Gary, if you knew the hell I had to fight, if you knew the troubles I was in, if you knew the prayers I've asked God to answer that He didn't answer, it wouldn't come so easy. I see you living on Easy Street up there. You're the pastor of the church. You don't have near as many problems. Honey, just walk a day or two alongside and let's have a talk. Amen. You might discover that every one of us have troubles and trials and heartaches, and the difference, I believe, between those who live in victory and those who live in defeat are not whether or not you have bigger and badder and uglier trials than I do, but whether or not God is big enough in your perspective to solve every problem that you'll ever face. Amen. What we got to do is get our perspective up, get our eyes off of our troubles, get our eyes off of our giants, and start getting our eyes on God, because He is yet able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Amen. And it won't take you long at all to develop an attitude of gratitude once you start counting your blessings. And He's got grace aplenty for all of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I heard a testimony of our dear brother, the pastor's Victory Baptist Church there in North Augusta, South Carolina. His wife, Brother C.T. Townsend, thank you. His wife, Becky, right, had a miscarriage. It was a dark season in their marriage and their relationship. And they tell the story of how dark that was and how she went through this darkness. And anybody that's had a miscarriage can relate to this and understand there's just nothing quite like losing a child. No matter how you lose the child, it's a darkness. And she went through that period, and she was struggling to regain the joy of the Lord in her life. She was struggling to have that close walk with God that she once knew and loved and appreciated. It was just dark. And one day she went to her dad and talked to him, and the Holy Spirit gave him the scripture, if my memory serves me correctly, what we just quoted, in everything give thanks. And she had got it wrong, so they say, that she was thinking it said for everything give thanks. He said, no, baby, it says in everything give thanks. You don't necessarily thank God for every bad thing that's happened, but in that trial, you can be thankful for what God is doing, has done, and will continue to do. And that was a breakthrough for her. She began to pour out her soul to the Lord and just give Him thanks for all the goodness that still existed. And that pulled her out of a very dark season in her life. You see how just a shift of perspective can often give you the trajectory that you need to pull out of a very low season in your life. It doesn't always fix the problems, but if it can fix your perspective, you can move past it in victory, and you can get the hope and the help that you need to make sure that the rest of your days are not spent sorrowing, but they're spent serving the Lord. Can somebody say amen to that? So the cry of the 10 teaches us that God's grace extends to everyone and that we should be thankful in every situation, regardless of what life carries. Now listen, grace opens the door of opportunity with everyone. But this is the point I want to make right here. Gratitude walks all the way in for the fullness of the moment that it has to offer. Everyone has opportunity to receive God's grace. Very few return with gratitude and tap into the fullest measure of that grace. If you really want to tap into the richness of God, learn how to develop an attitude of gratitude. We sometimes don't realize that what we're doing when we fail to be thankful and we insist on focusing on all of the injustices and all of the pains and all of the sorrows, our prophecy becomes our destiny. If all you ever do is sit and sulk and blame, and well, you're going to sit right there in inactivity and never move forward with life again. It is actually hindering you. That's why forgiveness is so powerful. It's not as much for the one you forgave as it is, releasing you from the prison you've built for yourself. See, as long as you're holding harbingness and unforgiveness and unthankfulness for all that has happened to you, you have imprisoned yourself and prohibited yourself from being able to look forward to the rest of your life, because you can't look forward because you're still looking back. And God wants to deliver us from that. And the key to deliverance is being thankful for what he has done. Now, I'm going to teach you something. If you hold on for just a minute, I'm going to show it to you in the scripture. This is very powerful, and this can literally change our lives from this day forward. I believe that with all of my heart. I want to look, secondly, we saw the cry of the 10, but let's look at the return of the one. Verses 15 and 16. One of them. I want to be one of them, don't you? One of them. When he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. My goodness. Woo, hallelujah. I love that, don't you? Now listen to this. 10 were healed, but one was made whole. Do you know the difference? The 9 were content with the gift, but one also wanted the giver. See, sometimes all we're interested in is God answering our prayer and giving us our quick fix, and then we're on about our way till we feel like we need God again. Some people treat the church that way, by the way. They come to the church when they're in need because the church is the most likely place for people to be big-hearted enough and kind-hearted enough to look past their fault to see their need. And often churches are abused by people who are leeches on society because all they do is they look to get, but they don't look to return and give thanks. And it happens. I'm not saying that we should always shut up our bowels of compassion because it happens, but it is a reality that we have to grapple with in this culture and in this society. Amen. So a lot of people, they're not looking for the benefit of a relationship. They just want what's in your pocket. They don't want what's in your heart. And sometimes we treat God the same way. We want God to answer our prayer, but otherwise, leave me alone. I want to live my own life the way I want to live it. I know people living in open sin who in one breath will praise God, and the next breath they're doing something completely wild and crazy and offensive to the holy God they claim they know. What's the problem? The problem is they want the best of both worlds. They want to straddle the fence. They want the benefits that God can offer without the burden of having to live a holy life. But there was one out of the 10 that said, you know what? I want more than just this healing. I want to know about the one that healed me. How did he do that? Why did he do that? Who am I that he would even do that? My goodness, what am I doing walking away from him? I need to go back and I need to give him some things. I want to know more about him. I want to hear his voice again. I want to hang around him. Amen. I want to worship at his feet. And if we could ever fall fresh in love with Jesus Christ, we would be more interested in knowing him than just getting something out of him. And the cool thing is he'll do both. He'll give you himself and he will bless you. But our relationship with God needs to be fundamentally founded upon just that, a relationship and not a transactional moment by moment existence. Amen. God is not your spare tire shop. There's a little shop on the edge of town I like to go to when I get a flat tire and I can get the used tires the cheapest and quickest. I don't circle around there, but just when I need them. But God don't want to be like that with you. So you want his blessings, but you don't want him. Y'all getting the point, I hope. All right, so I talked about this wholeness. Jesus' question, where are the nine, exposes something deep. Many want relief, but few desire that relationship. So listen, grace offers the gift, but gratitude multiplies the gift. Amen. Now, see, he got healed, but he wasn't whole yet because the healing was physical, Brother Gary. But wholeness implies the whole person, heart, soul, mind, and body. Amen. And there was only one that the Bible said that Jesus said to you, you have been made whole. You see, God wants to do more than just fix your problem. He wants to fix the character flaw in your heart and mind that might have led you to step into that trap that created that problem to start with. God wants to do more than just keep enabling you to live in a cycle of defeat by getting you out of trouble every single time, but never teaching you how to get out of trouble, to stay out of trouble. God wants to teach you how to live righteous and faithful, and he wants to teach you his word so that you'll know how to live according to Psalm chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But it is delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night, and it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water whose leaf fails not. Amen. Let me tell you something. He wants to teach you how to live in victory and not just visit victory on an every once in a while basis when God has to do a miracle for you to get you out of trouble again because you still haven't learned how to obey his word. Amen. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. Many of you have had repeat offenders come to you asking for help the thousandth time. And you already know that if you help them, they'll be back again. Why? Because they refuse to fix the problem that keeps digging them in that hole to start with. What Jesus wants to do is give you more than a patch job. He wants to fix the problem at its root so you never have to live in that situation again. You can live above it with the wholeness that he can provide. Don't you like that? I'm glad that he wants to fix all of me, not just parts of me. I'm glad that he gives me the grace that I need. Sometimes he has to do a rescue so that I can even begin to walk in the right direction. And that's the grace of God, is it not? But he doesn't want to just leave me to my own devices. He wants to be involved in my life. He wants to be my financier. He wants to be my banker. He wants to be, amen, my planner. He wants to be my motivation. He wants to be my mindset, my heartbeat, my guide, my healer, my deliverer. He wants to be everything to me. And if I will return with gratitude for the one helping me and not just what he can do for me, then I can learn how to expand the gift that God gave me through grace.
Thanks for listening to Pastor Gary's message today on True North. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an edition. If you've enjoyed today's message, make a point to share these teachings with others. True North is a part of the ministry of Gary Caudill. Feel free to learn more at GaryCaudill.com. Is there something we could be praying for in your life right now? Let Pastor Gary know by sending an email to contact at GaryCaudill.com. That's contact at GaryCaudill.com. Would you do something for us too? Would you pray for the ministry of True North? We desire to present these messages with courage and to step out in faith and humility, allowing God to do the heavy lifting. Please pray that we'd stay connected to the vine who is Jesus Christ. Would you also pray for those who are listening to this broadcast? Pray that God would soften hearts and allow what's being heard to sink deep into each person's soul. Thanks so much for caring and for partnering with us in this way. Our time with you is up for today, but don't let that stop you from listening to more and more teachings by Pastor Gary. Join us again next time for another edition of True North.